Welcome to Hold Up, a podcast where we talk about episodes of TV with gay icon Sonia Morgan. Obviously, my name is Grace Leader, and my co-host is Hudson. Hudson, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's a beautiful day out today, blustery cold January, but I'm excited-ish to talk about what we're talking about today. It's a show I'm not very familiar with, but looking forward to having our guest, Christian Robinson, give us more of an insight into the Real Housewives of New York. So yeah, Christian, how are you doing?
I'm good. Again, so happy to be here. I love when I can force anybody to watch Real Housewives. Real Housewives for me is something that I started during coronavirus, and since I've watched over 50 seasons at this point. So it's like really just a staple in my household. It's almost always on, and I'm just kind of on a mission to be caught up on all of it for no real reason other than my friends all watch it, and I was like missing out on all of the reference points in the memes. So I'm happy to be here, happy to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that. I think that is 50 seasons of a TV show is like fascinating to me. But first, Christian, can you tell us a little bit about like who you are? Yeah. We just jumped right over that.
No, you're good.
Like your family, people know you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, my name is Christian. I am currently a PhD student in Virginia, where I'm studying counseling, counselor education, and counselor supervision. So basically what that means is that I already am a therapist, and my degree is centered around mental health research, and then also the education, training, and supervision of future therapists. So a lot of my research centers around like men and masculinity, specifically on college campuses, as it pertains to like a lot of these like negative mainstream cultures that we see college campuses in the news, in the media for like sexual assault, binge drinking, sort of things like that. And how just being a man and masculinity in groups kind of leads groups of people to do things that they don't necessarily would personally identify with or personally like think is okay. But for whatever reason in groups, men just act wildly, especially on college campuses. And so that's the research that I do. And then I'm also a therapist and I most previously been working with LGBTQ youth here in Richmond. So kind of got my hand in a lot of buckets, but I enjoy it.
No, that's great. I love it. Yeah. I feel like if you're dealing with like toxic masculinity, a Real Housewives franchise is like, well, I'll just watch some toxic femininity to like, right, you know, get as far away from possible from my work. No, that's really interesting. I can definitely attest that I definitely did things in college that I did not want to do. Yeah. Anyway, great. And then so how, like, where does Real Housewives? I mean, you said you started it during COVID-19. Mm-hmm. We had all of us had time on our hands to watch things, but you chose Real Housewives. What was it about Real Housewives that you were like, this is it, this is the thing I gotta watch?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on Twitter, and I like meme culture and whatnot. And of course, I was just spending a lot of time on my phone during COVID while I was sitting at home pretending to pay attention to my classes. And I just started noticing that a lot of the memes that I have saved in my folders or the videos that I reference are from Real Housewives. And I had like no true reference point as to like what was the actual context behind them. So I was like, okay. And I had a couple of friends who were starting Real Housewives of New York again from the beginning. So I was like, okay, I'll hop in here, see if I like it. If I just watch one season, it is what it is. Which was just like dumb of me to say because I'm just obsessed with all things reality television. And I just am obsessed with like the story, like the way that the producers are able to like build these narratives around people and the way that people just rally behind them for no reason. I'm just like very obsessed with like social media and reality TV culture. So needless to say, I have just been moving through every single franchise to the point where I only have to watch New Jersey and Orange County. And other than that, I've seen every episode of every other franchise.
Wow. Since.
Interesting. What does that say about New Jersey and Orange County that they're at the bottom of the list? Anyway.
So yeah, it's weird because Orange County is the first one. It's where everything originated.
Oh, really?
So I figured it's the longest, so I would just save it to the end.
Okay.
And then New Jersey is, there's a lot of like mob involvement, which just kind of like weirds me out, so I have been pushing it off.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean the New Jersey one, they have like the woman like who her husband got deported because of some sort of criminal activity.
Yes,
but they were like
huge
Trump supporters, but he got deported because of one of the Trump like executive orders or something. Very wild. Yeah. And like they like that's I only know about that from listening to another podcast, the Purple Pants podcast, which is highly recommended if you enjoy reality TV. Otherwise, like I like know nothing about any of these shows except the people I knew who were going to be on New York. I didn't see. I knew like Bethany, and I was like, "Where's Bethany? She's not on this."
one of the seasons that Bethany is not on.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. Like, the three of our like past sort of connect through reality TV in a sense through Rob as a podcast. Really, I think is where like that's first where I heard you on a podcast, Christian. This is sort of not my type of reality TV, but I will say we asked for questions this week, and this was our most engaged audience yet. People have some questions for us, so yeah, it's going to be fun. I think you know a lot of that stems from the fact that we're connected to a reality community. Though my reality TV love typically comes from like some sort of competition reality. I don't know if there's any winners after this episode, I would say, but we'll dive into it. So should we talk about what happens in this riveting episode of television?
Yeah, who wants to do it? I'm not gonna lie, I was very much half paying attention the entire time. I really tried. So, I really tried to pay attention.
Christian, I feel like we could either get the like you have context for these people and who they are. I feel like this episode they don't. It's not like overly complicated, but they do just like drop you right in the middle of everything that's happening in these people's lives. You're like Christian, I'll give you the floor. What happens in this in this episode?
So we open up. This is season 4, episode 2. So we've already had one episode under our belts building up to this. And so it opens up basically Sonia and Alex are feuding. Sonia Morgan, the reference point for Sonia Morgan is that she used to be married into the family that created JP Morgan and Adams Morgan. So like she comes from a lot of money. And then she also is an aspiring businesswoman making toasters and apparently cookbooks in New York. And then Alex's really are, we look to her in all of her seasons as like the most grounded to reality one. Like she has what we would consider to be like a real job in which she like works as an entrepreneur with Victoria's Secret and marketing and all of that. But basically they've both been asked to participate in some form or fashion with this marriage equality march that's happening in Brooklyn. And Alex is on the committee. Sonia has been asked to be the grand marshal. And this whole episode is really just them feuding about whose day it is. Is it Alex's? Is it Sonia's? Is it the LGBTQ plus community? That's really what the whole argument is about this whole time. And so, I mean, I had a lot of fun watching this play out. This is probably one of my favorite episodes of Real Housewives of New York. So I was curious what y'all thought about this little feud.
Well, I think it's funny when we talk about like Alex being the one who is sort of grounded or who we're sort of like rooting for. I kept thinking, I was like, should I be rooting for Alex or am I so into this that like the bar is so low to be the one that we're like, okay, yeah, I get like, I see where you're coming from. I really was like, I'm not sure. Maybe I've been lured in. But yeah, they can't agree on whose day it is.
I'm Team Sonia, honestly.
Are you really?
I think it's because she's the most familiar to me because I did see her on a season of Worst Cooks in America, and whenever I am waiting for Top Chef to start, like when it's on season, I think there's always a season of Housewives of New York happening right like the episodes right before it, so I always see her face, and it's kind of I don't know, like she was my familiar point in this. And well, so I'm like I'm on her side, and then also like I like that she has this like boyfriend who like paints like her and like she hates the painting he made of her.
That brings us to our first question from the great Nicole Horn, TikTok Nicole, says who is in the wrong and why is it Sonia? is the question.
Well, so. I mean, Sonia's in the wrong. Like they're all in the wrong because like it's not about them. Like it's like they literally should be just thinking like we are honored to be able to help and serve the LGBTQ community in this walk that is, I mean, this was filmed before gay marriage became legal in New York, I believe, because that was 2011. summer 2011. I believe it was right around Pride. So this must have been filmed before, right before that. So like this was a, it was very close to becoming, you know, the like legal. So like they, it's just like, so I can't even articulate my thoughts. It's just the amount of fighting they did over like who can speak at this march was ridiculous. It's not the gay pride march. It's not, it's just like a symbolic walk over the Brooklyn Bridge to be in favor of gay marriage. Like, come on.
To me, Alex is in the right until a, so it's like the central conflict is that Sonia is the grand marshal, and apparently she called the organizers or whatever and sort of said, well, I'm only going to do it if I'm the only one who can speak. And so Alex and her husband, Steve, is his name Steve?
Simon,
yeah, whatever. Simon is gets like cut from the like speaking docket, right? He's not allowed to speak anymore, and they find out just before. And so then Alex's whole thing is like, we need to let Simon speak. Like he needs to speak, and it's like, I'm on her side, except for the fact that like it's rude for Sonia to be like, I'm the only one who can speak. But also her argument is like, you got to let this like straight man speak at the parade. Like my husband, he needs to speak. That's the part where Alex loses me a bit, Christian.
Yeah. And I think I was more like, okay, maybe there's two, like they both can be right in their own ways. But as soon as we listen to Sonia's speech, I'm like, you can't defend it. Like she was just entirely, I don't know that she knew what event she was speaking at or who she was speaking to or what she was speaking for. But yeah, I think like Alex bringing it up persistently the day of is like questionable, right? Like at that point, Sonia's clearly not going to change her mind on what's going on. And so it's just adding chaos to what it's just making the event furthermore about the housewives rather than what it was actually standing for. And I think later in the episode, we get to hear what Simon's speech would have been.
Yeah,
and it was that. Like, it was terrible. I really, at the end of the day, I was like, I don't think either of them should have really been speaking at this event. Like, I think it was nice that they were there to bring publicity, to bring people, but I didn't need to hear either of those speeches.
Is the only reason Sonia was like the grand marshal because Alex was on the board or whatever? Like, why? No, like,
so, no, she's a gay icon,
right? Who's gay icon? In the zeitgeist of whatever was Real Housewives season 4 in the surrounding time, I think it was 2010. Sonia was the center of, like, it was who all of the queer people flocked to and just idolized because she was very sex positive. It's refreshing to watch specifically in that season because Ramona and Luann they're all about like class and order. And so like they're like really like hush hush about sex. And so to have Sonia come in season 3 and 4 and be super sex positive is super refreshing, I'm sure, for the queer audience that was watching. So I understand why she has a queer backing, but like not as to be a voice.
The like, grand marshal. The grand marshal of the parade. Wow.
I know. Get Carson from Queer Eye instead. Like some, I don't know, like some other Bravo personality.
Yeah. Sonia is known for throwing, she calls them gay parties. They used to happen at her Sonia estate, the Morgan estate, every Wednesday. And they show them throughout her run on Real Housewives of New York. Aquaria is spotted in one of these gay parties. So like Sonia's attention, like the way that she pays attention to the LGBTQ plus community has definitely evolved. Like one thing that I paid attention to specifically in her time on the show was like there was a very specific moment where she went from calling it LGB to LGBT to LGBTQ and then adding the plus. And so like it's been nice to see that sort of evolution. But at the end of the day, most of the people on this show are Trump supporters. And so like it's like really hard to like back what they're saying here. And like Luann, for example, who's here at the gay equality march, is like pretty avid Trump supporter in the first election and like has since come around, from my understanding, as a publicity stunt. And so it just gets really interesting to like really understand how they all actually feel about the queer community.
In some sense, I can see why people would say that Sonia is like the most in the wrong. I actually think Luann is most in the wrong in this entire episode, because she is just stoking this fire of like,
yes,
behind Alex's back, being like, no, it was your day. It was your day, and she ruined it. And she has her voice, and she needs to shut up. You're like, whoa,
she should have wore that S&M outfit.
Yeah. Anyway. It is really interesting. I think when you brought up this idea of like you were talking about Real Housewives of New York, and then there happens to be this episode where they go to the marriage equality march, but also I think just like Real Housewives is sort of this like it does have a queer following. It has this gay community that follows it, and I think it's really interesting to like think about why that is. I know Hudson, we've talked about like, you know, doing some episodes on stuff that, you know, on its surface value isn't queer, or like maybe someone who is like recently in an episode, is it Drag Race UK, where they have to do like the walk the runway as a impersonating or, you know, in the spirit of a gay icon. And some of those gay icons are like not people who are queer. And it's just like, why do those people resonate with people? I think is really interesting. This show to me is like one of the most interesting examinations of that, because yeah, it's like a show where like a bunch of these women are Trump supporters, and it's about these rich women living their like, you know, a fantasy life. I can make the connection, but like, why was it something that you, why do you think it has sort of a gay following?
I think a lot of it, like at least a lot of the memes and videos that I see on Twitter come more specifically out of Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is one of the two franchises that is just entirely, or I guess Real Housewives of Atlanta has one white cast member, but other than that, it's an entirely black cast. And so I think that there is a lot of, I mean, we see this happen in gay culture all the time, is that like queer black culture like emanates these ideas, these slang, these memes, these videos, and then it like migrates over to white gay Twitter and then just like becomes this viral sensation. And so I feel like with Real Housewives of Atlanta, and Potomac is the other franchise that's an entirely black cast, like I feel like that's why they get their following. But I just think Bravo in general just does such a good job. And at the end of the day, every Real Housewives franchise, Andy Cohen is at the helm of it, right? He hosts the reunion,
right,
and is really sort of like the gatekeeper of who gets to be on Housewives, what are the narratives that are being told, and how that all comes to fruition. And so I feel like, I mean, at least from my understanding, people really rally behind Andy Cohen. I haven't gotten to that point. I don't think he is like anything special, but people really love Andy Cohen, so naturally they love the Housewives.
Yeah, Andy Cohen, like it just like when he started, like I was like, who is this guy? Like I remember seeing like Andy Cohen live, like every single night, like when I was in high school watching like Top Chef and Project Runway on Bravo. I'm like, this channel's pretty gay, but like it's not a gay channel. And then I realized, oh, the person ahead of programming is this like huge flaming gay person. And yeah, and I guess like he just kind of has his, you know, the pulse on like, you know, women were not watching the competitive shows at the same rate I guess men were, and they decided to like, we need to get like soap operas in here, and they did it like in the best way possible, like, because that's how I see these shows. They're like just like unscripted soap operas that, you know, go on for years and years and have like the same plot line coursing through several seasons. And I don't know if that's how you feel about these shows, but me as like an outsider who's not, you know, in the community, that's how I feel about it.
No, I think they were like inspired by soap operas. That was sort of the idea behind them, was to specifically try to sort of marry the idea of a soap opera with, you know, how big reality TV was at the time. So I think that's, quite interesting. But yeah, it's just interesting how much of an attachment sort of the gay community has had to all of them. Yeah, I think there is a lot of that, like the social media stuff too, of like, you know, and watching them fight, and they're all so confident too, these women. I think it maybe has something to do with it as well. Like the whole, you know, narrative of this conflict is that neither of them feel like they're wrong, right? They're both entirely in the right, and their friends are backing them, like, you're right. The other person was being rude. Like, that's all. And I think there is something to that as well, of like getting to sort of live vicariously through that. I would, you know, I'll speak to my own experience rather than talking about a universal queer experience. But, you know, we're often trying to, you know, figure out who we are and trying to figure out which parts of us when we sort of, you know, we're growing up are real parts of us or stuff that we were sort of putting on as an act. And so to, and in a sense, sometimes can lose a lot of confidence as a result. And so seeing these like really powerful, successful women who are so confident, I think is maybe there's a piece of that in there as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of like the housewives, people watch them for like, what are they wearing? Like their fashion, they're into like makeup and whatnot. And so I feel like it's a lot of things that just like queer people also happen to be very interested in, even though it's not like I'm going to the Real Housewives of New York for fashion inspiration from these like 50-year-old women. It's like, okay, cool. Like I can be like mentally stimulated by like seeing these cool gowns that they're wearing, or like seeing them like build up this makeup brand or whatever it is. But yeah, it is weird. I like every time that I like get to a new franchise, like I just watched Real Housewives of Dallas, which is about as like conservative as it gets.
I'm just, I can imagine.
I'm just like, how? I don't understand really why it is as big as it is within the queer community, because it, I mean, it's like very not queer. Like they're starting to like really brand, like they have like their first openly lesbian housewife in one of the franchises, but even like the way that it's like talked about and looked at is like not very great. And so it's just like interesting to see it when it actually comes to like broaching LGBTQ plus issues. I like, it's like really hit or miss in how any of the housewives handles it. And so it's just weird to me that it's like such fodder within the queer community for being like this thing that you just like, it's canon, you need to watch it.
I used to work at like a very conservative office place, and the people who loved that show were all just women. Like it was all the women of the office, like very conservative women. So I see like where the show has an appeal also to like a group of people who would not be very like okay with gay people on their television, like, you know, these like kind of conservative people who just want to like watch the drama, and they're not really interested in like the any political stuff being put on their television, because that's like, that was like the vibe of the women from my office, one of whom like literally I think she has a podcast on Real Housewives. She would like her daughter does, and she would like invite all the women in the office to go to like their like viewing parties. And then I would get vicariously invited to them because everyone assumed that I was a gay man. So like they'd be like, "Oh yeah, Hudson can come too." And yeah, so it's very interesting. And also, Salt Lake City—that's a new one, right?
Yes, it's like coming up to the end of its first season.
And is that one on par with the conservatism of Dallas?
So no, it's definitely more liberal in thought. I don't know in practice. Like some of these, like there is somebody from who was a guest on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City who was at the insurrection of the Capitol. So like you can only go so far before we like really start standing any of these people. But there are a lot of people who have like left the Mormon church. And so coming from a extremely conservative youth and then leading life as an ex-Mormon, they tend to come across as more liberal. And there's two people of color in this season. And so it's promising. But again, I try not to get too behind any of the housewives until I see them for at least like a season or two to really understand where they lie politically, where they lie socially, because it can get very questionable. And like I think a thing that we see in a lot of the housewife seasons, especially like, for example, with Luann, is that it almost seems like while it's happening, she's like, I need to go to this marriage equality march. I'm going to be on camera. I need to come across as supporting LGBTQ plus people. But in the back end, I like really hadn't seen her do anything else visibly with the queer community up at that point. And so there's always this part of me that's like questioning how performative it is, because they know it's about to be blown up onto national television.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So performative. Like, I mean, remember when like it came out like that the guys from like Duck Dynasty were like really homophobic? Shock. And they got canceled. Ooh. Like their show literally got, and it's like, you like obviously these guys, like, I mean, come on, they like are in like like the most, it's like the most conservative like profession and area. Like, come on, who, right. You don't think they're going to be a little bit homophobic? And so like it's like complete, like, you know, it's, I think this year especially has like really shown us, don't look up your reality TV people's
yeah,
like politics, right. Because you're not gonna like it. And you just have mm-hmm. to remember these are they're humans, so you don't be mean to them on the internet, but they're also characters. And the reason that they are right. on reality TV is because they are dynamic, and sometimes dynamic people can have kooky thoughts. Mm-hmm.
But if I don't look them up, I'm not gonna get problematic Big Brother bingo. But I'm so close to a bingo.
We don't need to
so close.
Talk about the mass questioning winner of Big Brother 22.
All right.
But I think, yeah. I mean, like, you bring up a great point, though, in that, like, I feel like shows like Real Housewives in the earlier seasons, they've done a really good job of staying away from politics, of staying away from current events, because people view this show as, like, an escape from reality. Fortunately, I think they're starting to, like, move the bar on that, like, especially with, for example, like, Real Housewives of Atlanta, with an all-black cast. They just had released a season that had filmed over the summer. The cast was like, there's no way we're doing this season without talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, right?
Yeah.
And so thankfully it's gotten a lot of airtime, but it's been interesting to see how the viewers then respond to that, right? Because even though it's an all-black cast, I would imagine that the viewership is, like, majorly white. And so to see just, like, you know, how everybody watches these shows and then has an opinion on social media and be like, oh, we're focusing too much on this stuff. And it's like, well, no, it's like these people's livelihood. Like, they're all black women. Some of them are queer black women. And so, like, it's like, it is very much their livelihood. They're very much oppressed and marginalized, even if they have this national, like, platform to speak on. And so, like, let's just give them their time to speak on it. And if you don't like it, like, Real Housewives of Dallas exists for a reason. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's a thing with privilege that I think a lot of, you know, the sort of counterpoint of, like, people talking about, like, well, is a poor white man, like, privilege, you know, the counter argument is, like, is a black woman who has a lot of wealth or is on a TV show, you know, there's this idea that, like, where am I trying to go with this? Basically that, like, you know, privilege is sort of manifest in different ways, and you have it in certain places and you don't have it in other places. For me, as being white, I have white privilege, but, you know, I'm also trans, right? So
I feel like a common understanding of privilege is that it's like on or off, you have it or you don't,
right?
But then even just watching The Real Housewives, at the end of the day, they're all women, right? And so there's been really compelling storylines where there are at the hands of abuse, whether emotional, physical, of men. And people are like, I mean, well, you're on this national platform. And it's like, no. Like, that just because you have that doesn't take any sort of, like, abuse or marginalization or oppression away. Like, you can still experience it. It just happens in a different gradient and it shows up in a different way. So, yeah, like, it's a really important point when we're thinking about these shows.
Yeah. And exactly. And, you know, like, with anyone who is, you know, a black person on these shows, even if they have money, it doesn't stop them from being black and doesn't stop someone who doesn't know who they are, like, from judging them based on their skin color, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, it does, like, there are certain characteristics that we all have that play into our privilege, regardless of what our, you know, our background is. And that's, I think, the biggest thing to understand, that, like, just having white skin makes you immune from a lot of the things that other people have to deal with.
And so, like, for example, Real Housewives of New York, they're filming season 13 right now. So the episode that we're talking about is season 4. So it's been 9 years. They're just now hiring their first black housewife for Real Housewives of New York. And so it's going to be interesting to see Sonia Morgan and Ramona and Luann, who are still on the show, like, have to talk about race, because they haven't really had to talk about it up until that point. So I'm really interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting for New York. I mean, like, New York is like a, like I've lived here, you know, I've lived in the state all of my life, pretty much in the city for the past 7 years. And it's a very segregated city. So it's like almost unsurprising to think these Upper East Side women are not interacting with black people of their own class in often, because, like, they may just not honestly live in the same neighborhoods and go to the same, be in the same social circles. Because even though it's, you know, only, you know, a 10-mile, you know, wide city, it's like there's still, like, there's so much going on that, like, you know, people just don't, like, they don't go outside of their bubbles in this city. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm not shocked. It's only now getting their first black.
And in this season, the Housewives, they all talk about Brooklyn like it's a third world country. Like, I have never been to New York, and I, like, don't know the, like, layout of New York. But I know that Brooklyn is not a third world country. They just, like, talk about how much they hate going there, how scary it is, etc. There's an episode where Ramona and Bethany walk across the Brooklyn Bridge into Brooklyn, and it's Ramona's first time in Brooklyn as, like, a 50-year-old woman who's lived in New York her whole life, and she just, like, can't get over, like, like, how scared she was to be there. It's very weird.
The parts of Brooklyn that are right off the bridge, like, I assume they walked the Brooklyn Bridge, is like the bougiest part of Brooklyn too.
Of course,
it is like where the $1 million penthouses are. Like, it's like
those are scary.
They're so terrifying. Scary. And like, obviously Brooklyn is not a scary place anywhere at all. So it's oh my god, these women. And like, what do they even think of Queens? Do they think Queens is like another planet? Because like, I mean, Queens is the most diverse city in the country. I mean, like,
no, you heard Sonia. She loves gays. She loves Queens.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Good one, Grace.
Thank you.
So, I mean, like, it's not surprising, like, you know, that they have like these rich, like, rich gay friends, because like, rich white gays, I feel like they kind of go in the same circle, even if they're living on the west side. Because that's where the gays live, and there are these rich ladies live on the Upper East Side, because that's where the women of status live. So it is a little surprising they are interacting, but I guess they like to go down to like Chelsea, where all the studios are, because, you know, Sonia's fucking some guy who is an artist, and I assume the studio's in Chelsea or in the Meatpacking District, and those are pretty gay areas. So it does make sense that they do interact that way, especially Sonia, if she is fucking artists, because I mean, he's probably a little gay himself. It's New York.
Like, Sonia gets around the city in, like, terms of, like, geographically, because she just is so involved with so many different men. At one point, she's dating, like, a 23-year-old. And so it's just, like, very... Sonia is chaotic, and that's why I feel like a lot of people, like, just look to her, because she's very much... She holds down the entertainment value of the show. But one thing that I also thought is interesting just about all of these women is they always are, like, commodifying gay people. They're like, my gays, our gays, like, New York loves our gays, like, talking about them like they're like a handbag or a gown or something like that. Which I feel like is very on par for how straight people would talk about gay people in 2010, but it's still just like so hard to watch now back in 2020 in 2021.
Yeah, I was just gonna talk about this because I think it's so funny that the central conflict of the show is obviously, of this episode, is Alex feeling like Sonia is making it all about herself instead of you know, marriage equality, and Sonia is like, rebuttal to this all the time. It's like, no, we love the gays, obviously we love the gays, it's like, it's fine, I'm not doing anything, you know, but this is about me, but I love the gays. It's quite interesting the way they, it's just like we're all lumped in together as one big thing that
it's like the gays give us money, so we love the gays. That's how basically, I'm seeing it. I mean, like, this episode, like, it's just like, I was just like shocked. I was like, oh, we're gonna see them walk over the bridge, we're gonna see them, like, you know talking about how close New York is to finally legalizing same-sex marriage, blah blah blah, and no, it's like they have the speech, and then it's like on to their next charity event where they're going to fight with each other, and then on to their next party where they're going to continue this fight. And the entire time I'm just like, wait, so like it was just a backdrop for you. It's like not even like something, it's like this could have been like for like the dogs with like multiple sclerosis or something. Like it didn't matter what the event was. It felt like it was just it's for their status. And yeah.
Well, I thought the wedding dress thing was something like, I don't know much about the marriage equality in New York march, and it made it seem like everybody, you were going to show up and everybody was going to be in wedding dress attire. And then they show up and no, it's just them. It's just them in wedding dresses. is hilarious. Yeah, it does kind of show the difference in sort of how they perceive their status when they show up at this march.
It's just like, that's not how all people, queer or not, view a wedding. And so, like, why? It's just like, you're bringing in very hetero themes to this queer equality march. It's exhausting.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah, such a good point.
One could argue that the fight for gay marriage in general is to make gay people more palatable for the straight world. Mm-hmm.
Don't they say? Yeah. Isn't that in that when they all arrive and they're all in the bathroom? Alex is kind of like, no, like this is about like marriage, like so that people like gay people can get like married and get and mm-hmm. you know be married. And then there's that classic like. That the joke you've heard a million times at the, I think at the party, who's the woman who like I love her, I don't know who she is, who like is on the board but then like wasn't gonna go to
Jill is one of my favorite housewives.
Yeah, I loved her energy. I loved everything she was bringing. As in, like, well, like, I'm on the board. Like, do I need to actually go to the event? Like, come on. Like, whatever. And then she goes there. And she's like, you're harping on it right now. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm here at the... Anyway, I love her. But she makes the joke at the end. Sorry. She makes the joke at the end where it's like, well, if they want to be as miserable as the rest of us, like, so be it.
I like that she's, like, bringing the Jewish representation. Like, it's mm-hmm. just, like, she has a slight accent. She's got the darker hair. She was my favorite, and like when I was talking to somebody saying like, oh, I gotta watch Real Housewives, they're like, Jill, you gotta watch out for Jill. So I don't know, like I appreciate good. her,
and she yeah. is, I mean, maybe you can just sniff it on her, but like she is one of the more liberal housewives. Like she was a huge Hillary fan and was like really like pushing mm-hmm. the vote to be Democratic in 2016. So like Jill's good people. I love Jill.
Okay,
go Jill. Good. Yeah,
I know I'm going to backtrack on a conversation we've sort of had, and maybe it's over, but it is really interesting to try, you know, and to watch things now. And I think it's a little bit easier when it's like stuff that's already happened. Like it's easier to watch this and be like, it's from 2010, 2011, and be like, okay, well that person, like, yeah, they're a Trump supporter now, but I'm like watching this thing that was, is older, but it's, I mean, there's such this culture of like, we can't watch anybody who, or we can't have people on our screens. And I think there's like, obviously a part of this argument that like makes so much sense. Like the like deplatforming argument of like, if you put someone on TV, there are whether like sometimes we view that like we're laughing sort of at them more than we're, you know, trying to give them a platform, but there are people mm-hmm. out there who do listen to them and will take sort of what they're saying or what they believe in and think that that's what they should also believe in. And it's this really tricky thing. And I think something like this, like it's again, we're talking about it, like becoming this like Twitter thing and this it's used as memes and it's part of like pop culture. I think also for like queer people, there can also be this like, we'll decide when we're like, you know, sort of, what's the right word here? I'm going to cut this little part out, but like, what's the word when someone, you can like disassociate basically, mm-hmm. who they are and what you're watching.
Separate the two.
Anyway. Yeah. Separating the two. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that feeds into that conversation about like, I have to try and view them as characters when they're on the show. Like I'm like, they're doing things because the camera is there that they might not be doing otherwise. And so in that vein, I'm going to view them as characters, but there's this whole back end social media aspect to it where they are themselves. And so on these things, I'm going to hold them accountable. It's like, so for example, right. Bethany Frankel is one of my favorite housewife characters, but her social media presence is so bad. It's so cringe. The things that she decides to speak up on and be silent on is just very questionable. So I've just like really had to separate my idea of her on the television show and as a social media presence, because I think her social media presence is very like actively harmful. Whereas her character is this, nobody's looking to Bethany Frankel on Real Housewives of New York as like a moral compass in which they're guiding themselves with. But people will engage with her on Twitter when she's like talking about current events or the Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. movement or the election in a way that is actively harmful or like disregarding trauma. So I've just had to like unplug from Bethany Frankel in real time.
Yeah, and I think that's sort of the point that I'm trying to, is it's like, it's really hard, because some people will argue, like, well, her having a platform on Real Housewives then enables her to have a big enough platform on social media. And I'm not saying that, like, what you are doing is wrong, because I think especially for people who are, like, we have to figure that out sort of for ourselves, I think, of, like, when we can separate the two, and when we decide we can't, like, when they've, you know, they've gone too far on that line. But it's a really, like, you know, interesting debate. I think especially reality TV complicates it so much, much more so than, like, someone who plays a character in a TV show. These people, I think they are playing a character. Like, that was going to be sort of the next place I wanted to go to about Real Housewives, is watching it for the first time, it feels quite scripted or staged in a sense. But everything I sort of read is that it's maybe manipulated, but that it's not, like, scripted. Is that, do you know? I mean, maybe nobody knows.
But. Yeah, and they talk about this a lot on the reunions, especially when the new cast member makes it to their first reunion. They're always shocked that it's not scripted. Of course, there's, like, producer manipulation, and there's a lot of, you know, in the interviews where they're having their confessional moments, it's like clearly they're asking leading questions to get them to talk about certain things and poke shots at certain people. But, like, more or less, like, these, like, were already ongoing, and production just, like, worked these events into the schedule of filming. And so it's like Alex was truly involved on the board here, and Sonia was truly asked to be the grand marshal, and it just also happened to be on camera, and then there was a lot of drama about it. So, like, the fallout was definitely more micromanaged by producers, but the buildup to it, in my understanding, was, like, fairly natural, of, like, Sonia really being like, no, I want to be the only person from Housewives to be speaking here. and so, like, from that lens, it's like, it almost becomes weirder, because you're like, if you're claiming that it is as unscripted as it is, I almost feel the need to hold you more accountable for the things that are coming out of your mouth, right? Because, like, then it's not coming from Bravo or Andy Cohen or whatever producer is asking you a question. And so, yeah, Real Housewives is just such a, my moral compass is just, like, spinning in circles around how to feel about these people.
Wow.
I feel you there. Like, as reality TV watchers, I think we all can feel you. Like, there's been plenty of people this year. It's just like, ooh, like, oh, I didn't know you thought, you know, COVID was a hoax, or, oh, I didn't know you were a Q follower. Oof. And yeah, it's become very much just, like, compartmentalizing, like, the character versus the person. And yeah, like, I've started watching 90 Day Fiance, and so many of those people are hardcore conservatives, right? And you just have to not think about it, because otherwise you can't enjoy the show. And I think these shows are meant to kind of distract you from, like, the horrors going on in the world. And yeah, you don't need their horrible viewpoints to seep into that when you're watching it. Just, yeah, keep it apart.
Yeah, we've talked about wrestling on the show. That's, like, another one where there's, like, this huge, like, often a lot of people who are, like, these professional wrestlers have, like, these terrible viewpoints. And then it's this interesting thing where they're, like, sort of pretending to be a character, but they're pretending that it's all real. And, like, it's that is all so complicated. So I mean, this wasn't the task today to, like, figure out how we feel about our moral compasses and which one is the right way to feel. But it's just, like, I think this show just, like, you know, it's so interesting to look at from that perspective. Anything else, Christian, that before we get to sort of our age old question, is there anything else from this episode that you wanted to touch upon?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
So, I heard someone say, I think it may have been Alex, say water off a duck's back. And if anyone is a Drag Race fan, you know that is Jinx Monsoon, winner of season 5's, like, catchphrase. She was not on that show. That show, she probably filmed it in 2012. This filmed in 2010 or 2011. Does Jinx Monsoon watch Real Housewives, or is this a common phrase?
It is a common phrase. That doesn't mean that, that doesn't mean that Jinx didn't hear it from Drag Race and then take it and use it.
I was like, is this like the key? Is this like, oh, now I see.
Yeah, I think water off a duck's back is it's a thing. Because it, like, if you we're getting into it, if you, like, watch water on a duck's back, it doesn't go into their feathers. It just, like, slides off. Yeah.
I prefer the one where it's like you're a duck on above water, and then you're a duck below, like, below water.
Yeah, that's
I like that better, like, where you have a facade where you seem everything's fine, but really you're which was I got from Survivor this past year.
So next week we're ranking duck metaphors.
But no, I mean,
anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I was just gonna say, I think Real Housewives of New York is really interesting to talk about, like, queerness and how it holds up, because it's just so, there's just a lot of real homophobic moments in Real Housewives of New York. Like, I mean, just Simon's existence in Real Housewives of New York, he claims to be metrosexual, he's from Australia, he cares about fashion, etc. There's clearly a cultural difference between him and all the men that associate with the rest of the Real Housewives. So clearly there's seasons and seasons story arcs of the women being like, is he gay? Is he gay? And just like saying really offensive things about Simon. Additionally, Luann, she's the tall one who's always talking about class. She has wide shoulders that they like to point out a lot, and they sometimes call her Lou Man. And they like, it's this joke that goes 12 seasons into the show. And it's like, it's like real bad. It's real bad. And it's just like weird to see how like burned into my mind. And it's like, oh, it's like they call her Luann the linebacker, and that's normal. It's like there's a lot of just like, it's not even veiled, thinly veiled at most, just like really homophobic, transphobic things that like fall into the Housewives, and specifically Real Housewives of New York, that I think just get like swept under the rug because people view them as like, oh, it's funny. Like, they're just like, we're just making a comment on like what we're seeing. But it sometimes gets hard to watch.
Well, I mean, so there is a moment in this episode where like they talk about Simon, because Simon's speech, which we said we didn't want to hear, but it's basically like, I met someone named Alex and it turned out to be Alexandra, but it could have been Alexander and I wouldn't have been able to move to America. And like, it's supposed to be like the riveting, like, you know, flourishing speech that he was going to give that he never got the opportunity to. And so then you get this like confessional, and I don't remember who it's from. It might be Ramona, who's like, you're trying to tell us something, like, Simon? Like, I don't like, seem to really like men. And it's like used as a punchline, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that is just the thing, like queerness for so long, the history of, like, the word queer is basically to mean odd or different. Mm-hmm. And because that's sort of the idea of comedy, the idea of, you know, get really philosophical with comedy, is that like the punchline should be unexpected. That's what normally makes people laugh. And it's just for so many years, like literally like throughout time, that the punchline of a joke being that like, well, you're not a woman, you're a man, or like, you know, you're not straight, you're gay. That's the punchline of a joke. And I don't think people like saw sort of the damage of like punching down as it were. But this is the most common thing where when we're looking back at stuff, it's the stuff that doesn't hold up is often the punchline-ness of being queer oftentimes.
Yeah, I don't have much else to say about this episode. I mean, it's shocking how they can just stretch an argument into 43 minutes of TV.
Yeah.
Like, that was the plot point, it just in different locations.
Mm-hmm. I think, one other thing that I thought was funny that y'all would enjoy is, so, like, every time a new housewife gets introduced, they get this intro package.
I love the intros.
Yeah, we get to find out like what they're about, who their family is, etc. And Kelly, who's like the really tall model in this episode, her intro package in this season was just gold. Her thing is that she just loves men. Of course she loves men. She's like, and her first quote on the show ever is, every day I'm around men. Straight men, gay men, businessmen. I'm always around men. And I was like, that's what the B in LGBTQ stands for. It stands for businessmen.
Businessmen.
Just more bisexual erasure.
I know. It's just, she's just so absurd. It's like such a character. I'll send you some greatest hits of Kelly because she's wild.
Oh, I can put them in the show notes. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The three sexualities. Gay, straight, and business.
Well, I know plenty of people who won't fuck finance bros or businessmen in New York City, so I think it is actually a sexuality.
No, there you go.
And not just a preference.
I know. I wish I had a plan. Like, what would our intros be for Real House? If you were on Real Housewives, what is your like 2 second like little clip? Those were amazing. I had like never watching the show, but I knew of those. Obviously, like you knew that they were a thing. I think like 30 Rock has done like some. Yeah. You see them spoofed often. Right. But they were like as fun as I had heard. They were great.
I feel like I have a note on my phone.
I love cats.
I have a note on my phone as to like what my Real Housewives interest would be, were I to ever be in this position.
Okay, all right. You know, we won't, like, in case you do get on a Real Housewives show, we won't break it here.
Wait, Christian, I have one last question for you before we get into our discussion of holding up. Have you ever seen the show The A-List?
No.
So it was billed as the gay Housewives, and it was on Logo in, like, I think in the late aughts, and it was gay men. It was like there was like the A-List New York, mm-hmm. and I think the A-List LA. Maybe there was the A-List Dallas. I don't remember, but it was basically these like the gay men who are like, you know, at the top of their field and like kind of bitchy, all like hanging out. And like I know like Ryken from like
Amazing Race
was on it, and then like Mike Ruiz was on it, mm-hmm. who's like the famous photographer from Drag Race. And yeah, so I watched that because I find, you know, I'm going to watch gay men over straight women any day of the week. And I think maybe you need to add that to your
I will. And it's funny that I didn't even know that it existed at all. Like, because I know they've talked about adding gay men to the Real Housewives as housewives, which is just like a whole conversation that we can add in and of itself.
Yeah.
It hasn't panned out. But so no, I've been looking for this content, so I'll definitely give it a try.
The reunion is hosted by Wendy Williams. That's amazing.
Of the A-List?
Yeah, on the A-List, yeah. That's amazing.
There's another show apparently called the A-List on Netflix. So I'm like getting very confused. So you have to Google the A-List logo to find
it. A-List logo, yeah.
It aired around the same time as season 4 of Real Housewives, A-List New York.
Yeah, true.
So perfect. And they had the A-List Dallas, yes.
I know, I was looking up, there was two Canadian spinoffs that both only lasted one or two seasons each, Toronto and Vancouver. So
I think we need to watch this like show
in the A-List episode. Yeah, that does sound fun.
Yeah,
all right.
I think that's about it we got for the episode. I don't have any questions that came in for me. Did you have any more Twitter questions?
Oh, there was one more. Would you trust Sonia to speak on your behalf? It says SVK, but is that Sonia? But Sonia's Sonia Morgan.
Oh no, SVK is Simon Van Kemp, which is Alex's husband.
His speech is such a straight guy's version of what he thinks an empowering speech is for queer people. I think.
Right.
Like,
and
like the little like plot twist on the Alex story. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he can't speak for me. I don't want him to speak for the gays at all.
I would never let him speak for me. And I just thought it was ironic how Alex and Sonia were arguing about making it about them, and Simon turned and made his whole speech about him and his citizenship.
True.
So I was just like, y'all are just wild. You're all doing it. It's terrible.
Yeah. Oh man. So the question we always ask is does it hold up? Did the episode hold up?
I think as a reality show, it holds up. I think like the specific, you know, backdrop doesn't hold up because, you know, I think gay marriage has become almost normalized in American culture since it was federally passed. Mm-hmm. So I think in general, like if I turned the television on and I saw this was on, I wouldn't guess this was season 4. I might assume this was a current episode. Like it has the beats of like a modern reality show. The only thing that's like, you know, looked a little bit different was like some of the, you know, the cars and the clothing, but honestly, like I could barely tell. So that's my opinion. And like, you know, in the way they talk about gay people, I feel like they probably still talk about gay people that way these days, like today.
Yeah. What do you think, Christian?
I would have to agree. Like as much as I want to imagine there's been growth in the 10 years since this episode was filmed, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. I imagine this is fairly similar to if there was a second coming of this gay marriage equality march and all of the same women were invited. I imagine that it would look very similar.
Yeah, I think that for me, like there's only, as I said, like that one line that I sort of forgot about sort of questioning Simon's sexuality is the one piece in the episode where I'm like cringing about something that's like gay. Everything else I'm cringing because it's like an awkward fight. Like the fight is like not like they're not, nobody said something offensive or like whatever. It's more just like they all want to make it about themselves. So the fight is a reality TV show fight. To me it's like, you know, what their true intentions were or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's sort of Marriage Equality New York's fault for inviting them to be like Sonia to be the grand marshal. It's not really her own fault. She was invited. So whatever. So yeah, I think for the most part, it was like a fun episode and I think it held up for the most part.
Oh, I have one shout out to like my fellow New Yorkers watching this who are listening to this, but didn't watch the episode, I should say, is that in the background of them talking are these like butch lesbians wearing Bill de Blasio t-shirts, and Bill de Blasio ran for mayor in 2013 and won and has been like a complete disappointment for progressives. and it's just so funny to see like the hardcore support behind him in 2011, because that I don't think holds up. I think the LGBT community feels pretty let down by him, because you know they haven't even like, you know, gotten rid of some laws that, you know, basically like persecute trans women who have condoms on them, you know. So yeah, that doesn't hold up, and I kind of want to get a screenshot of these like hardcore, like they, it's like the, like they have like, they have like a button down on and then they have a t-shirt over it sort of situation.
That was a look. That's a look.
A whole look.
The t-shirt over the long sleeve button up.
I rocked that when I was working on a gay marriage campaign. So, I, you know, it's like you get the ugly ass t-shirt and you have flannel. You have your lesbian flannel on, and you're like, well, I don't want to take my flannel off. Mm-hmm. So t-shirt goes on top.
That is true. Often when you're like wearing something, you want people to see the message on your shirt, but you also need to wear your flannel. It is tough. So I guess you have to put it over your flannel. It makes sense.
Yeah, I may share some on our Instagram. Yeah. I may share some photos of when I was working on a gay marriage campaign in 2012.
Great.
Where I'm wearing that exact outfit, but
Okay, amazing. Yeah, look out for our Instagram. See if you can get a screenshot of those t-shirts. Yeah, okay.
I'll do who wore it better. Yeah. Peter Boot.
Okay. Christian, this was so fun. I think you educated us on Real Housewives. I honestly don't know if I want to watch more or I never want to watch it again. But it's like 50-50. It's like I could see, because I almost was like, I wonder if I need to watch the episode before this. Like after I'd watch it, I was like, I wonder if it would make more sense if I watched the one before it. So I think I could see how you could like fall into a rabbit hole. So this was so fun. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Christian. Yeah. Where can you be found on the internet? What are you doing?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter, Instagram at _KRobz. So that's _KROBZ. And I'll be tweeting all about Real Housewives until Survivor comes back. So you can catch me there.
They're filming, they say. They're going to film in the spring, Survivor. So
all right.
We could be looking at a new season in the fall. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. So you can find us on Twitter at Hold Up Podcast with 1P. You can find me on Twitter at High From Grace.
And I can be found on Instagram at Nonbinary. You'll find it spelt in the show notes. And we have the Instagram, which is Hold Up Podcast 1P as well. And that podcast is now following Christian.
That's right. All right. And next week, we have a very exciting episode. Hudson, what are we watching next week?
Next week, we are watching the 1999 classic, But I'm a Cheerleader. And this movie has a very special place in my heart, so I cannot wait to get into it. I'd love to hear any feedback people have. You can, you know, hit us up on Instagram or Twitter about it, because we'll definitely talk about whatever people's thoughts are and how it's kind of, how like meme culture has taken parts of that because of its aesthetic and used it like today. I'll definitely share some of those memes also, so very excited.
Yeah, this is a big blind spot for me, actually. Like, I think people sort of suggested it, and I was like, I don't know what that is. And then the more I looked into it, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to love this. But I've never seen it, so I will be watching it for the first time this week, and we'll have some fresh thoughts about it next week.
Yeah, and I think it's the first film, I might be wrong, first film RuPaul did without drag.
Oh, really? Interesting. I didn't even know RuPaul was in it.
Yeah, he's a supporting character.
Cool.
So it's going to be great. Watch it on, in the US, you can watch it for free on IMDb TV and a bunch of other places, and in Canada, Prime, right?
Yeah, Amazon Prime in Canada, yep.
Cool. So we'll catch you all next week talking about But I'm a Cheerleader.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.